Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's our NFL analyst, longtime NFLer Marcellus Wiley. What's up, Marcellus?
I'm doing great, man. What's going on, guys?
We're just getting cold up here in Canada. We wanted to ask you, though, this field in Mexico City, how did that go down? I mean, they decided to pull the game and go back to L.A. Did they send people down there to scout it out? I don't know if they're, like, you'd probably think there'd be a team of former players. I don't know what happened, but how'd this all go down?
Yes, interesting. I saw a memo. I guess it was directed to the entire fan base of both teams, but the NFL just announcing as they consulted with the NFLPA that this field, after being inspected, just didn't live up to standards. And you can see some of the pictures that are out there floating on the internet. And I must agree with the NFL and NFLPA. Certainly you don't want to put your guys in any condition that is hazardous for their health and is not up to standard in safety. And it's crazy because you're talking about globalizing the game and going outside our borders, which is a smart business play, but it still has to make sense for those participating in expanding our game. So any city, country out there that wants the NFL to enter their borders, you still have to live up to code. And it looks like for some reason, even though this was circled on a calendar for years, they're not ready for this moment, so they're going to lose it.
Yeah, and if you're not aware of it, the Rams-Chiefs game next Monday night was scheduled to be played in Mexico City, and they just announced this hour they're moving it back to L.A. And it sounded like there were a lot of players on both teams that were starting to leak it to the media, like, we're not playing. We're not going on that field, which I can appreciate. As a former player yourself, have you ever been in a position like that where you looked at a field? I'm thinking of the field, old field in Philly. Washington's had a garbage field for a long time where you felt like, I'm putting myself in danger playing on this field.
Yeah, great question, great point. You talk about players get hurt every single day in the National Football League, practice conditions, the playing game, the playing surface. Let's talk about the Coliseum where this game is now going to be played. And just last Sunday, they played the NFL game, but on Saturday, they had a college game. And I saw a couple of players looking at the turf, looking at the grass, a little side eye because it wasn't up to optimal conditions, but certainly nothing resembling Mexico. But yeah, my early years when they were trying to transition from AstroTurf to field turf, oh my God, Philadelphia, like you said, came to mind. I remember seeing a big, huge divot in the Philadelphia stadium. Cincinnati. My rookie year, we played in Cincinnati, and the field literally was sloped. It was, like, angled, and we were, like, sitting there stretching, and we were joking about it because we knew no better other than the fact that it wasn't level. Guys were, like, acting like they were rolling down the slope like it was a real hill, and it was just weird to look at it. And we were, like, no one protested. No one said they weren't going to play. But with today's enlightenment and today's mindset, it'll be funny to see us back in that moment because I'm sure we will have a different understanding and different response to those conditions.
Perfect segue into the news of the day in the NFL that Le'Veon Bell has just decided, I'm not going. I'm not playing. I'm not going to report. I'm not taking the money. I'm not signing that franchise tag. I can't believe it got to this point. How do you feel about this whole story and this culminating in Le'Veon Bell just not playing this year for Pittsburgh?
Yeah, I mean, look, he's a bigger man than I. I talk about a man of principle, but there's two principles in this world, one with an AL and one with an LE. And one of them involves a lot of money, and he gave up a lot of one principle for the other principle. Respect to him for doing that. But I will peel a layer off and take it back to my own history. When I was a free agent, my first free agency deal, coming from Buffalo, going to San Diego, I had some security by some teams that weren't authorized to negotiate before the trade, before the free agency period. But I had security, meaning I knew that certain teams were not only wanting me, but the numbers that they were talking. Totally unethical, totally illegal, I get it, but totally occurring. And it's happened to me. That reminds me of Le'Veon Bell. The security he has to take this type of financial risk must come in the form that I was presented. It must come in that kind of fashion. And there's no way you're giving up $15-plus million, taking all this heat, criticism, PR hit, your Q rating drops. You don't do that unless you know you got something in your back pocket. I'm sure he secured forward thinking that some team has already positioned themselves in the Le'Veon Bell sweepstakes. The only thing that I can see that really gives him the justification to pull this move.
Marcellus, I know you don't probably want to get too deep into that, but how was that information relayed to you? Was that through a teammate of yours with an agent that has the same agent as you? Is it through your own agent? Is it conversations with people that probably shouldn't have happened? Or how was the information relayed to you?
Yeah, I'm sure the statute of limitations.
You're good.
I think I'm good. And I don't think they really care that much. But, yeah, my agent, a lot of this happens at the combines. Let's be real. When you get all the agents in the same room with the coaches, with the GMs, the team presidents, the owners at times, over drinks at 9:30 at night after day one of the combine. Not everyone's talking about the 40-yard dash, you know. They're talking about, hey, man, who do you represent? Who's on your roster? How can we make some of these moves? It happens in all sectors of life, in all aspects of business. My move to Fox, there was no ethical breach, but still, I knew a lot more than the public knew and a lot more than others knew surrounding that situation. So my agent had conversations with other teams informally, and that turned and materialized into something formal when you could make it formal based on the guidelines and deadlines. So I think Le'Veon has to be in that conversation with someone, some team or teams, because for him to take this risk, we saw Sean Gilbert do it. We've seen him do it and get paid. So it worked out once in NFL history to that magnitude, but that is a road less traveled, and I think he's traveling that road knowing that he has something hits to something great, which is going to reward him greater than the sacrifice.
With longtime NFLer, host of Speak for Yourself on FS1, Marcellus Wiley here on Overdrive. Booger McFarland came out of left field with a hot take late in the fourth last night where he just said Eli Manning is not a Hall of Famer, and he gave some details, and him and Witten kind of went back and forth. But shortly thereafter, Manning threw the winning touchdown, and that's his 36th game-winning drive, I guess, since 04. That's third in the league, only behind Drew Brees and Roethlisberger.
Was he on the buggy when he made it?
Oh, he was on the Boogermobile, man. Sparks were flying
that
off thing.
That thing is just something else.
It's such a pain in the ass. If you're in the stadium, it sucks. But the guy's won two Super Bowls, and he did it against, you know, the dynasty of all dynasties, as we know. Where do you stand on Eli in the Hall of Fame?
Oh, man, this is the conversation that happens everywhere in the locker room. The first question is, if you have to question you're a Hall of Famer, you're not a Hall of Famer. That's one. So that's a tough one for Eli. That goes against Eli. The second thing is, if you're on that fence, on the border of saying he's a Hall of Famer or not, which argument is easier? Is it easier to make an argument for him in the Hall of Fame or to keep him out the Hall of Fame? For me, it's easier to say he is in the Hall of Fame, and he's just barely fallen over the fence of getting in there, but I think he's a Hall of Famer. Two-time Super Bowl MVP, that's a short list of people, so because it's on that short list, I have to say I'm in favor for him. And then let's just go to the schoolyard argument, which is always, hey, is he better than the worst player in the Hall of Fame? And you got to start to think, and I hate to call out names, but there are some guys with less accolades, short-lived careers. Eli Manning or Kurt Warner, you know, and it's not even a diss to Kurt Warner, but two-time Super Bowl MVP. I understand Kurt Warner has his own accolades as well, but he's certainly in the same realm of a Kurt Warner. Some people say Terrell Davis, short-lived but amazing excellence at his peak. And these are recent inductees, so by those standards, which to me are great standards, Eli deserves to be a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, I think you'll get in there in the end. Great stuff as always, Marcellus. We'll do it again next Monday.
All right, let's do it, guys. Stay warm.
You got it. There he is, Marcellus Wiley, host of Speak for Yourself on FS1, longtime NFL defensive end, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline.